Hi, Corey. I'm going to ask you some questions about your walk with God. Corey Betts is from New Brunswick, and he is assistant director at Cape Breton Bible Camp in the summer of 2014. So, Corey, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and what God's been doing in your life.
All right. Well, I grew up in a Christian family, and you know, I can probably relate to a lot of the people who are hearing this. I grew up in a Christian home. Was always in church. Would always go to all the youth events, anything like that. But you know, there was something seriously deficient in my life. I was trying to come to Christ on the coattails of my parents. It was kind of their faith that kept me going on the path that I should go, and I didn't want to disappoint them. I would be a good kid and be a good boy, but it wasn't because I wanted to. It was because I was afraid of getting in trouble. And in a large way, because I had a reputation of being a good guy and a good kid, a good church-going kid, that in a large way, pride is what kept me trying to do righteous things. But the reality was, in my heart, I hated them. You know, I went to church, but I did not want to go. And I didn't want to go and do all of the... I did want to go and do all of the sinful things that my friends were doing, but I abstained from them because I wanted to save face, because I cared more about my reputation. As time went on, and I got older, I realized, you know, it became more of a struggle for me. You know, going to church was more difficult, and as I grew, the desire for the sinful things, I wanted them more and more. I mean, looking at me, you wouldn't be able to tell that. Looking at me, you'd think, oh, he's a great church-going guy. But in my heart, my desires were for the world, and I loved the world, and I wanted the things of the world. You know, I didn't want anything to do with God. You know, I wanted my own life. And I remember when I didn't come to the Lord, I went to a youth rally, and they were having them every month. They would have a youth event at the end of the month. It was in a nearby city called Miramichi, and I would go with the youth group I was in. And I remember going, and I don't remember the message that was preached. I don't think it was that good. But I remember the Lord really, really impressing upon me that I needed to lay down this pride of mine and follow Him. And that happened not just once, but two and three and four and five and six and seven times. And it wasn't like I was sitting there thinking, you know, oh, I should do this. It was God was really impressing it upon me. It was really heavy upon my heart. You know, I need to come to the Lord and lay down my pride. But because of my pride, I didn't want to do it, and I wouldn't do it. And I would be sitting there in tears when they would give the altar call and call everyone up to the front. And I know going up to the front wouldn't have saved me, but it was symbolic for me of going up and laying down my pride and my life before the Lord. And you know, I wanted, there was a part of me wanted to, but a stronger part of me said, no, I'm not going to do that. And it was seven times, and I wouldn't do it. And I'm looking back on it now and thinking about it, just the condition that my heart was in. It desired all kinds of evil things. And you know, God, the God who created everything was calling me to come. And he was saying, I felt like a fish on the end of a line. That's what I felt like I was being reeled in, and I was fighting it as strongly as I could. And you know, I really thought about that once a couple of years after my salvation. You know, it's God, how merciful He is. God who created everything, who told the mountains that you can come up to here and this will be your height. And he told the valleys, he carved them into the ground, and the valleys listened. He tells the waves, you'll come this far, and you will come no further. He tells all of the stars by name to go where they are supposed to be in the sky, and they go, and they obey. And then he looks at me and says, come. And I say, no. You know, my heart was not right. I went to church, and I tried to do all of our righteous things because of my self-righteousness. But my heart was as wicked could be. And I would look at the God who created everything, that I could look at the God who created everything, and say no. And just outright rebel against him and reject him. It was, it was a horrible thing for me to do. But I remember on the seventh time that when I went to this youth rally, I did go up and I laid my life down before the Lord, and I said, I give up my pride, Lord, please save me. And he did. And from that point on, I went back home, and the Lord had changed my heart. You know, I didn't before, when I would begrudgingly go to church and I would abstain from all of these things because of my pride, now I didn't want to go out and party with everybody because I knew it was wrong and I wanted to please the Lord. I didn't want those things anymore. It was a change in the heart. You know, I wanted to go to church now. I was a new creature. I was born again. I'd been transformed. I'd been renewed. I wanted to go to church now. It became an enjoyable experience for me. I looked forward to it because I wanted to go and meet with Jesus. The Bible, I would read it from time to time, and maybe some of the people listening are like this. You'll read your Bible time to time because you think it's what you're supposed to do, and you think, well, I've got to do this, and your Christian walk is a duty for you, and there's no joy in it. It's a dangerous place to be. You know, I remember the first time I opened up the Bible and I started reading the book of Matthew, and I'd read it before, but this time I looked at it with new eyes, you know. When we get saved, when we encounter the Lord, he opens up the eyes to see. And I saw it for the first time as it really is. And I remember reading through it, and just the conviction of how sinful I really was really hit me. I remember reading in Matthew 7, I believe it's Matthew 7, it might be Matthew. Anyway, in the Beatitudes, Matthew 7 through, or 5 through 7, he who calls his brother is a fool. He who calls his brother a fool is in danger of hell. And I thought of how horribly I'd treated my sister and called her stupid. And it broke me to tears to think about how sinful I really was. And I prayed that the Lord would help me through that. And he did. He changed my heart. I didn't want to be who I was. And I wasn't who I was. He completely changed me.
When you say you got saved, I mean, you just, what does that mean to you?
Well, when I got saved, it was when I had finally accepted the Lord as my Savior. He had been pursuing me, and he had been chasing me, and he'd opened my eyes to see, you know, reality, really, to see how wonderful the work he'd done on the cross was. And when I got saved is that is the point where my eyes were opened, I saw the glory of the cross, and I surrendered my life to Jesus.
You knew that he had died for your sins.
I knew he had died for my sins. I knew he'd redeemed me. I knew he'd taken my sin away.
So now, with that newfound joy and a newfound walk in Jesus Christ, how did you land here in Cape Breton Island at a Bible camp? Like, what happened?
It's been quite the journey. I remember shortly after I got saved, I should say shortly after the Lord saved me, life was different. It didn't get easier. It got much more difficult. I could elaborate on that, but for time's sake, I'll just give one example. Is I was going to be a doctor. And that's the path that I'd set out for myself. I was going to go to Acadia University, take the pre-med program, try and finish that early, and go on to be a doctor. And I felt a definite call into ministry, but I wanted to do what I wanted to do, and that pride still lingered. It was something the Lord's been really working on me with over the years, and just that wanting to do my own thing. And so I did. I went to Acadia University, and I was doing well. I was doing fine in all of my classes, but the Lord had, I mean, I knew I was, I could relate to Jonah probably better than any of the Bible stories that I remember, where Jonah knew where he was called to go and do something, and he went the opposite direction, and that was what I did. And the Lord, it made me miserable. I had no reason to be miserable, and I was absolutely miserable because I was in rebellion against God. And even though everything was going well, I knew it wasn't where I was supposed to be. And so after that year at Acadia, I left the medical field, or pre-med, where I was in, and I began to pursue a career in ministry. One of the struggles with that was when I went back home, you know, a lot of my family members, they said, well, we'll support you in your decision, but we think that you made the wrong decision. And a lot of my friends and some of my teachers, you know, I remember talking to them, and they would tell me, even some of my family members, you know, you're wasting your time, right? You've just thrown your life away. But I can say today that, you know, it's not having, I didn't throw my life away, you know. Mm. Jesus says that he who loses his life will find it, but he who loves his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. And I experienced that verse a little bit in this. You know, I left my life, essentially, my future, all of my plans, I left those behind and followed Christ, and I can say now that I've found life in more abundance than I ever would going my own way.
Mm. Yeah. It's wonderful. And so you're here in Cape Breton, ministering to children in a camp ministry. How do you like that?
I enjoy camp ministry. Yeah, it's a great privilege to be able to work with young people, the campers and the staff as well, to be able to minister to them and to lead them in devotions, lead them in discipline, lead them in all areas of life in a Christian way.
Mm.
It's a great thing to be able to do that. I know it's interesting how I ended up here in Cape Breton. I'd worked with One Hope Canada in 2013. I was the director of a camp, a new camp opening in Miramichi. And after that summer, I went back and I was working with my church, and I got a call from the Atlantic director, of the One Hope camps in the Maritimes, or in Atlantic Canada, so Newfoundland, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island. April 9th, he called me and said, hey, there's a position in Cape Breton, Cape Breton Bible Camp. They need a director this year. Would you pray about it? And you know, immediately I thought, oh, I don't know. I'll pray about it, but I don't know. And it wasn't a month later. It was May 5th. I arrived here in Cape Breton to work here for the summer. And so the Lord really impressed it upon me to be here.
Mm.
And so my wife and I have been here for, since May 5th. And it's been an enjoyable experience for us. The Lord has really blessed us in a lot of ways.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, Corey, it's been a privilege to be with you, working with you here. I'm at Cape Breton Bible Camp where this interview is taking place. I'm here speaking. It is the week of August up to the 7th or the 8th. And just for those who are listening who don't know you, how old are you?
I'm 26 years old.
26 years old and serving the Lord. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. Corey, I'm 58 and I've been serving the Lord a long time. And I've never had any regrets. I had opportunities to make a lot more money and all other kinds of things. But speaking into lives, peace and joy and life and the wonder and the beauty of God and a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ, it's worth it all, isn't it?
It is.
Thank you so much, Corey, for sharing your heart and what God has done in your life. And I'm sure it'll be a blessing to many.
Thank you.